then we have to deal with the whole, you know, oh, Dortmund's going to run away with the league now because Bayern. Well, it's just like, well. Yeah.
2 games in, you know, that's a really slowly. Good. That's a really good time to judge how the rest of the season's going to go.
And that's how it works.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. Bayern Munich secured their first win of the new Bundesliga season this weekend, beating Schalke 3-0 at the Veltins Arena. Several players made their Bayern debuts, but it was undoubtedly Robert Lewandowski that stole the show. We're here to talk about that match and Bayern's decision to sell Renato Sanchez earlier this week. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm joined by my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hey, everybody. Happy to give a hand in this podcast.
And, of course, Sebastian Zimmermann.
Hi.
Yeah, Tim misses out once again. He's in Edinburgh doing some partying or something, so try not to miss him too much throughout this episode. But like I said, Bayern secured their first win of the Bundesliga season this past weekend, beating Schalke 3-0. It's always great to see Bayern win, but this was kind of a strange game. Garrett, I'm definitely happy to have you on because Robert Lewandowski scored three huge goals for Bayern Munich. We know you're kind of the Robert Lewandowski guy around here. So what did you think of his game?
This is one of the better... This is maybe the best game that he's had since Kovac took over. And so it was really nice to see him score in a number of ways. I mean, the first... Anytime you score a penalty, it kind of feels... a little cheap in the sense that it's like, well, you scored two goals and you had a pretty much a gimme. But he's so good at those. And I think that, you know, it's worth pointing out just the technique that he has, in the lead up to those, to taking those kicks and everything is really impressive. But that second goal was the best of the bunch. For me, the free kick, over the wall, nothing Nubel could do about it. And then the third goal was a thing of beauty too. And I think actually in the Slack channel, we were talking, when it happened, and it seemed, I think Ben, you pointed it out, that it seemed like he might've kind of faked that he was going to let it run to Coutinho and was able to gather it and just punch it into the back of the net. Beautiful goal. Yeah, he was phenomenal. I think I didn't take a look at the final stats, but I think he had 5 shots on goal and ended up with 3 goals. Of course, you know, only 2 of those were from the run of play, I guess. But yeah, that's good game for him, and happy to see him start off the season on such a tear.
Yeah, absolutely. And no, I would definitely make the argument that his third goal was the best, because like you said, it looked to me like he wanted to dummy the pass to Coutinho, but then faked that. So it really threw Salif Sané off balance, and his finish was phenomenal. He didn't even look up, knew exactly where the goal was. One touch and it's in. Unlike Garrett, Sebastian, you've been a bit critical of Robert Lewandowski throughout the course of this podcast, I guess. Yesterday, if we didn't have him, I think this game could have gone a whole lot different. He seemed, out of the starting 11, at least of the players going forward, to be the only one really, really up to the challenge. So what did you think about his game and then the rest of the attack around him?
Yeah, I think, of course, that was a good game by Robert Lewandowski, no doubt about that, and maybe even a very good game. So not really, there's not really anything I can criticize about his play per se. I think what I find a bit of an issue there is that 2 of these goals came from a penalty and a free kick. I think that penalty was a correct decision. On the other hand, Schalke could have gotten a free kick, a penalty, or even 2 in this match. So I think we really shouldn't bank on these penalties and free kicks always going our way, because that's just not how we can consistently win games. That's why I'm way more happy with this third goal, despite especially the free kick being a very, very nice shot and all. So it was really a great, great performance, a great move there. But yeah, I feel like we need to look at this third goal and really ask why we are having a hard time creating more chances along those lines, because that's really what we should be going for if we want to, yeah, win the league again and if we want to go deep in the Champions League. So yeah, when we think about that, really, that third goal really was quite the exception in this game. It's not like we had a lot of these situations. I can't think of really any similar situation we had. It really was not a game with many great chances for Bayern. So that what really concerns me there.
You know, I think you're exactly right. I can't think back and I can remember any other clear chance we had like that where I think, oh, Bayern definitely should have scored from open play. And then regarding the penalties on Twitter, I was interacting with Jack Mangan from the Schalke podcast that we've had his co-host Richard on here before. Me and Garrett have gone on there, but I think you're definitely right where Schalke could have easily had two penalties and probably should have had two penalties for two accidental but still handballs by Pavard and then Perisic. I think if Tim was on, he would want to point out that the one goal that we had that came from open play actually came when Kingsley Coman was playing on the right-hand side. Niko Kovac switched him and Gnabry for the second half and then pulled Gnabry out for Perisic. Yesterday, I know last week we talked about how Gnabry was playing on a whole nother level from Kingsley Coman, but yesterday he seemed kind of invisible to me, whereas Coman was the one kind of making things happen. He won the penalty. He got the assist for Robert Lewandowski's goal playing on the right-hand side. What was up with Gnabry yesterday, Garrett? Did just an off game from him, you think?
I think for, I think a lot of it is just kind of an off game. But at the same time, I also kind of think that they spent a good portion of the first half attacking that left side of Schalke's defense with Jonjo Kenny being kind of the target of they saw that Kingsley Coman could use his speed and his skill to get past him and kind of cause problems, and he ended up with a really poor match. Kenny did, and so I wonder if that wasn't kind of the focus, at least in the first half, and then by the time the second half rolled around, and you know you switch Kingsley Coman and Serge Gnabry switch their sides, then you're kind of already in the game, and the way that the game was going for Gnabry was just the way it was going to go. That being said, I mean, it was really nice to see subs, the quality of Coutinho and Perisic come on. Cause you didn't feel like, well, number one, I felt like they were both good substitutions. I didn't feel like either one was kind of, the head scratching, why are you taking him off? Sort of thing. So that was good. But to the point on Gnabry, I guess, is just, I think that he had a fine game. It was okay. It was just pretty much invisible. And I think a lot of that had to do with the game plan being to kind of attack that left side of the field, using Kingsley Coman's speed and ability to get into the box to really put pressure. And then by that point, I think Gnabry had just kind of worked himself into this was the type of game he was going to have.
Yeah, we'll get more into the kind of tactical approach that Kovac used here in a second. But before that, Lucas Hernandez, Felipe Coutinho, and Ivan Perisic all made their Bayern debuts, or at least their Bundesliga debuts, yesterday for Bayern Munich. Lucas Hernandez started, played about 75 minutes, whereas Coutinho and Perisic both came off the bench and played, you know, a good chunk of the game, about 35 to 40 minutes. For either of you guys, did any of those three players have a standout performance in your eyes?
I don't think anybody really stood out. I think that Lucas Hernandez had a good game. I mean, I think he played well for his first extended minutes after coming back from injury. I think that's notable. I think Coutinho looked good. I mean, for only having come in, you know, this week, and his almost 30 minutes of play, I thought he looked fine. And I don't remember Perisic doing much other than the clear handball. I didn't feel like did poor. I think that it was a good opening match for all three of these guys, and I think that we can look at them as fitting in nicely to the squad, and hopefully they'll contribute more as they get more acclimated to the team. But nobody really did anything that made it that was really all that standout. They're kind of overshadowed by Lewandowski's hat trick and Kimmich playing the six. I think those were kind of the big talking points that really come out of this, more so than what subs did. Now it is important that all three of them showed up, though. I mean, I think that the lead up talk to this match was all about all the new faces that Bayern had. So it was good to see them. It was good to see that none of them looked horrible. That was the main thing.
Sebastian, you said something in the Slack chat that I thought was very fitting about Felipe Coutinho, that, you know, he can play at speed if he needs to. He can move quick. He can drive play forward, but he can also just go right past the guy at walking speed and kind of make a defender, you know, look like a fool at walking speed. And that's really, really, I think, big for Bayern to have him, who have a player who can do stuff like that through the middle and push the play through the middle. But let's talk about kind of that tactical approach Kovac used. Lucas Hernandez kind of played a mix between a left back and a center back, and David Alaba played a left wing back that kind of tucked inside and played almost as a six at times. And Garrett was absolutely right. So much of the attack in the first half was focused down that left side, whereas Benjamin Pavard played a more subdued role at right back and was almost a central defender at times. So it kind of gave us this 3-2-4-1 look almost at times. How do you think that worked for Kovac and for Bayern? Specifically, how do you think Kimmich at the six worked with Pavard playing a more defensive right back role? And is this something that you want to see more of going forward?
Well, I think Kimmich worked pretty well on the six. I was quite happy with his performance. I think we have seen good games from him at this position before, but we have also seen not so great games in the double pivot together with different players. So that was good. I enjoyed that. I guess I just don't see this exact formation being the formation of the future, because it's really more like a makeshift kind of thing, I guess. And I think even in this game, I would have preferred if we just would have gone with three guys at the back completely and just changed things up a bit. I think that would have worked pretty fine, right? So you basically just have to put either Tolisso on the right or Kimmich on the right and Tolisso in the middle, and then it's a kind of 3-3-1-3, which is actually what I might prefer out of all possible formations we could be playing. So I don't quite understand why we didn't go all the way with that. I think that would have made even more sense. That said, I'm also pretty happy with Pavard's performance. I can't really say anything bad about that. It's just, a strange kind of formation, and that's really my problem with it. Not so much that I didn't like what the players were doing on the pitch. It's just I don't think this is the ideal formation. I don't think this is the thing that will work for us in important matches. I would much rather we worked on an actual system with three people at the back and, like 3-3-1-3 or something like that. You could also make it, a 3-4-3 or whatever. I think there are just several possibilities that are ultimately at least the better formations there. But other than that, I think the people in their new roles basically worked out pretty, pretty well.
How great would it be if this game was just kind of Niko Kovac's first test towards that 3-3-1-3 or, you know, whatever three at the back may be, and it's something that we, I guess, could be seeing more of in the future.
That would be great, of course.
With Kimmich at the six and Pavard at right back, Garrett, it kind of seems like Bayern might not go for Marc Roca, might not sign a defensive midfielder before the end of the transfer window. Do you think that could be a permanent solution?
Yeah. We talked about this all last season. Well, not all last season, at least for the first half of the season. Is Kimmich better at the right back position, or is he better in defensive midfield? And where do you want him? And I think Pavard gives you the flexibility to do this. I really liked the formation and how it all looked. And I just, the idea of Thiago or Goretzka playing the positions that Müller and Tolisso played kind of makes me think, oh, this could be something. But I do wonder now that we're talking about it, I do wonder if Pavard at right back is partially why Gnabry had the game he did as well. Because Pavard doesn't get forward as much as Kimmich would in the right back spot. And so Gnabry was out wide more, and just all the effects that, you know, that has. But again, we're just trading one problem for another. And I think Sebastian's mentioned this before, at least when we're kind of talking off pod. You know, if you put Kimmich at the six, then, you know, well, that still leaves us with a need for more fullbacks or more center back depth, because Pavard has been doing pretty well as a center back in the games that we've seen him there. But I think ultimately Pavard does a lot. He passes really well out of the back, and he can do a lot of the things that you want a right back to do. So I think in the past we've said, well, you know, Kimmich is maybe the best right back in the world, so why would you move him off of that position? And I guess the answer is if you think he's a better six than what you have, and you think that Pavard, for example, wouldn't be too terrible much of a drop off, then maybe you go ahead and you do that. And I think it could work. I think that you need to buy some depth, unless you think that Lars Lucas Mai is ready to step up as a option off the bench. Maybe there's somebody else in this deep on the second team or whatever that you think might be able to fill in a pinch at fullback. But it's just a small squad, and so to move your right back depth into the defensive midfield, well, not just right back depth, all your fullback depth into the defensive midfield, it just seems a little irresponsible, and you're just asking for trouble as the season progresses. It's a long season, and so there's going to be injuries. So, yeah, I mean, I think it could work. I just, you need some more players.
I guess I've probably been the one most against moving Kimmich to midfield in the past. And I would have to say I really liked his performance this past weekend. As far as a permanent solution goes, I think if you change systems, if you want to play something where you can kind of shift to a three at the back, with Pavard at right back, I think that would work great. And then I would definitely argue that Kimmich is the best right back in the world. And I'm a huge proponent of you play your best players in their best position. That being said, I guess there's a chance that Kimmich could be the best defensive midfielder in the world. And that is where he wants to play. So I would have to agree, if we had more depth, I'd be way more open to rotation. As far as a permanent solution goes, I think it's really up to Kovac to establish a system. I know he wants to do this 4-3-3, and I'm not entirely sure how that's going to work out for him, especially given the signings that we ended up making this summer with Coutinho. But after this weekend, I'd be more open to seeing more of Kimmich playing a defensive midfield role and Pavard playing a right back role.
I think that, to me, that's the biggest thing, is that Pavard played that role so well this past match that I'm willing to see that more often than we were last season, when it was the option there was Rafinha in the right back role. It was going to be a lot harder to be like, oh, can we do this, you know, 20, 30 games this year? I could definitely see Pavard actually being really solid in that position for 20, 30 games, whereas last season it was no chance I'd want to risk Rafinha there.
And I think something that too often slips people's mind is that France did win a World Cup with Pavard playing right back, and he was also a significantly less experienced player at that point in time. So you can make the argument you want about it being international football and teams playing different, all that. The fact still that he was playing right back and France won the World Cup, he didn't miss a single minute from that position. So maybe that could be a solution. Perhaps more concerning from this game for me was the lack of creativity going forward. Sebastian, do you think this is a tactical thing with Kovac, players off their game? Maybe do you think that Felipe Coutinho would play a huge role in adding some creativity going forward? There's obviously something wrong. Schalke created more shots than Bayern did in the game. So what's going on there?
Yeah, I think changing a lot of positions there, of course, didn't help much with finding the creativity. I think that's also an issue we already had a week earlier. Gnabry was very good last week, and I guess in comparison to last week, a bit disappointing this week. But even then, it should not have been all on Gnabry. So there really is an issue there. And I think, yeah, we couldn't really expect Coutinho to immediately fix that, especially not only coming on in the second half. So I guess this might of course be a problem, especially without Thiago. I don't think the players we played this week are not capable of doing similar things. It's just that Thiago is controlling so much of our midfield, controlling the whole game when he's on the pitch, that it suddenly can become a huge issue when he's not on the pitch, I think. So I think that also played a big role there. So, yeah, I think I don't worry too much about that. Basically, we plug Kimmich in there, and you cannot really expect him to immediately do all the offensive stuff that Thiago usually does, while also not making the defensive mistakes that Thiago tends to make. So I think that's just too much to ask there. Tolisso hasn't quite found his role in the squad yet, and Müller is not yet again in the form he was in last season. Koeman is kind of a difficult player, talking about this creativity, because I don't know. It's a bit paradox, I guess. It's a bit strange with him, because he's creating chances, but I would not really call it creativity how he has been doing it these last couple of weeks. So he's kind of doing those things without doing anything that warrants calling it creativity, really. So there are just too many factors in there. Or were in there this week that I cannot really blame them too much. I guess that's something where we just have to see what we're going to do with this number six position, and then give people a bit of time to just find how they are going to create chances from the system and from the combination of players we are relying on then, I guess. As long as we haven't found that, and while we keep changing the system all the time and changing such important positions a lot of the time, these are problems you're just going to have, of course. And Coutinho is going to be a huge factor, but we couldn't really expect him to be a huge factor this week. So this is not my greatest issue there.
Mm-hmm. Really quick, Bayern play Mainz next weekend at home. Mainz are not the greatest of teams in the Bundesliga, and it should be a really good opportunity for Bayern to gather some momentum, to keep momentum going. Just one question about the game, and Garrett, we'll start with you. Is there anything specific that you're hoping to see from Bayern, from Niko Kovac against Mainz next weekend?
I just want to see Goretzka get healthy, because I really feel like Goretzka, Coutinho, and a healthy Thiago could really help this creativity issue that we have. And so I wouldn't mind seeing a similar lineup. I wouldn't mind seeing Pavard play right back again and Kimmich as a six. I really wouldn't. But I don't know that I want to see Tolisso and Müller both playing those other two midfield positions. Just from the standpoint of Tolisso just hasn't really... I mean, he missed all last year with an injury. And it doesn't seem like he's found himself quite yet. So I don't know that he's quite ready to be the kind of player that it looked like he was starting to become before the injury. So, yeah, as far as anything from Kovac, I wouldn't mind seeing the same thing. I would hope that we don't see too much rotation. I would hope that we'd see a lot of the same players, but I want to see Goretzka healthy and back in this lineup and Coutinho starting. So we could kind of see where we might be headed with these new signings and with this full squad.
If I could kind of build off what you just said, I definitely want to see Coutinho starting, Coutinho playing. Hopefully he's fit enough by then, but specifically I want to see him playing in a central attacking midfield role, because there's been a lot of talk from both him and Kovac about him playing as the 10 as opposed to playing on the wing. And so if that's the case, I think at home against Mainz would be a great time to say, okay, Coutinho at the 10, Gnabry on the right, Coman on the left, and let's just go at him, full creativity, and let's see what we can make happen. So I think that's the one thing above everything else that I'd be hoping to see next weekend. Sebastian?
Well, I guess from my perspective, I just want to see the solution for this whole number six problem. I would like Kovac to either go Kimmich all the way and decide, okay, Kimmich is my new number six, or yeah, find something else, because I really fear that we are going to go into the rest of this season with Thiago or someone else who's not Kimmich and who's not Martinez on the six into this season. And that's just a very scary thought. And I think we need to fix this now before, everything falls apart and before it's too late. So I really want to see that fixed. And talking about Coutinho, I kind of disagree, I guess. I'm not yet convinced that playing him on the 10 is our ultimate solution. I guess it would fix our problem with the number six position, probably, because that would likely mean that we are playing a double pivot. So I would be kind of fine with it from that perspective, but it's not a complete satisfying solution yet, because that might still mean Thiago ending up in situations I don't want to see him in. I would really prefer a real number six behind Thiago. That's what I'm looking for there. So yeah, I'm not quite sure if Coutinho on the 10 is the best solution, but yeah, I guess I also expect Kovac to try that and to try to make that our model going forward, I guess, while he seems to really like his 4-3-3. So I guess he cannot have both. But yeah, I guess you're right there.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see next weekend and see what he goes with. The other thing of import that happened this week as far as Bayern Munich is concerned is that Renato Sanchez has been sold to Lille. Last weekend we talked about him making some rather bold, kind of uncalled for comments after only getting 5 minutes of playing time in the game. He didn't train after the match and he was fined for that. It was just a lot of, a lot of bad attitude coming out of him, a lot of lack of discipline, I guess, was on display and it kind of made the club look bad. But so he has been sold. That's all in the past now. What do you think about that whole situation, Garrett? I know if Tim was here, he'd probably give us an earful about, the whole Renato Sanchez saga at Bayern Munich. What are your thoughts on the whole situation?
I mean, it's unfortunate because, he came in with a lot of promise and it was a big deal that they got him. He just never found a spot. And I mean, he is much more of an attacker than he would be a defender. So even when, if you play him in a central midfield position, he's going to get forward more than he would be, a defensive option. So that being said, it's really hard for me to feel too much sympathy for him. Because you look at the names that are around him and it's, he had an uphill battle and unfortunately it comes across to me as just kind of a sense of entitlement because of what he was bought for. I don't remember if he came before or after Tolisso, but I mean, it would have been pretty close. Tolisso was the record until Lucas Hernandez was bought, but it was, so he came for 35, Sanchez did. And so I think in his mind that meant, well, I'm going to play. And so I don't know if it was miscommunication. I know he came in as a 19-year-old. So there's obviously some maturity that needs to happen. But after 3 years and after kind of being humbled by the whole Swansea debacle, I guess I would have expected him to have a little bit more patience or a little bit more openness to going on another loan. So much as he could like actually have a little bit more say in where. But like I said, I understand him being upset and I understand that there are things that probably go on behind the scenes that, caused him to act the way that he does, but at the same time, he came off looking really bad to me. And we have our own like frustrations with how the club does things. But like I said, to me, he came off looking a lot worse than Bayern did in that situation, because it seemed like even last year he mentioned something about, Joshua Kimmich and Gnabry and Coman all play more and they're young and I don't understand why I don't get minutes. So it's like, well, look at who's ahead of you. I mean, the guys that were playing, Gnabry and Coman, were basically playing mostly because Robin and Ribery were hurt. They may have gotten more rotation, but even then, they've only got one guy ahead of them. He had three, four, maybe even five at certain times. So I just wish he could have seen that perspective. Like I said, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. Maybe there were other things that made him a little bit more impatient and maybe a little bit more justifiably so. But yeah, it's just an unfortunate situation. I'm glad, I'm happy with what they got for him considering everything that went on around that. But I'm glad that he's moved on and Bayern have moved on. I think it's best for both parties and hope he does well. But at the same time, I'm perfectly fine with him not being in the squad.
Yeah, I mean, he joined when he was 18, and then 4 years later, I'm still not sure if he's done anything significant to prove that Bayern should still keep, working with him, other than some very, very small glimpses of brilliance. So I would agree with you, Garrett. I'm kind of glad it's all in the past now. I do think that he still has the potential to be, one of the best midfielders in Europe, and I'd love to see him go on and do that. But I don't think that was ever going to happen with Bayern, especially not this season after, what all has gone down. Sebastian, do you think that this is a move that Bayern are probably going to regret in the future?
I guess that's not all that unlikely. As you said, he can still be a brilliant player. I think it's maybe not quite 50-50, but it's just a relatively high probability that he's going to have a breakout season at Lille and is going to be the player for someone else that we always wanted him to be. I guess the real question concerning if we will come to regret this decision or not is, well, would there still have been a chance to keep him, to integrate him, to make him that great player at Bayern? And I guess also, if not, why not? And I guess it's just completely impossible to really answer this question right now. I guess we're going to have to wait some 10 years until people start writing biographies about what happened there and revealing stuff. I guess, you just won't get any kind of real information as to what had happened backstage between Sanchez and the people from the club. So it's just completely impossible to really judge this move. I mean, even if he's going to be brilliant, even if he's going to be that world-class footballer, this great star, what is it going to do for us if it would never have happened at Bayern? So we always have to keep that in mind. I guess my bigger issue at this point is that it's just one more player, one more body we are losing from the squad. And I'm not sure if we are going to sign someone else. And that, has me really, really concerned, I have to say.
I think Sanchez, his replacement is already found in the form of Quissons. I just think that it'd be nice to see a number six brought in to add more depth to the squad. You know, we've talked about that over and over. Or if Kimmich is the six, then bring in another right back. But we could go on and on and on about that. I agree with you completely. Sebastian, I know one item that you'll be interested in talking about is that Timo Werner today actually signed a new 5-year contract with RB Leipzig. So he's definitely not coming to Bayern for free next season. However, according to Kicker, he has a 30 million euro release clause that could be specifically for Bayern Munich. You think that this is something that will get activated? Are you probably a little bit annoyed with Bayern Munich for the way this whole situation has gone down? How are you feeling about Werner right now?
I guess if I were Rummenigge or Hoeneß or Bratzo or someone else, I would inquire right now if this clause is already active this transfer window. And if so, I would still go ahead and sign the guy, because 30 million for Timo Werner is just, it's just ridiculous. And you just can't let that slip from out of your grasp, kind of. So I really don't see why we're not going ahead and sign the guy. Yeah. It's really frustrating. I guess I'm kind of happy, of course, that such a clause might exist. And if it's really a specific thing for Bayern, then I want the player even more here, because that's the kind of people we need here. People who really, really want to be at Bayern. And if this is a Bayern-specific thing, I mean, what can you expect? What more can you want from the guy? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of brought up the big question, you know, if that clause is already active, if it's already established for right now, why shouldn't Bayern just go in for him? Because if the whole plan was to wait to get him on a free next season, okay, now that's impossible. So do you want the player or not? And if you do, it makes no sense to wait another season when, as he's shown in the first two games, he's just going to help RB Leipzig a whole lot under Julian Nagelsmann. Garrett, would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd go get him. The Bayern need the bodies. They need the help. I think that Lewandowski would even welcome the scoring help, because right now he's got all five of Bayern's goals on the season. And although I'm sure he'd love to score 80 this season, I don't think that that's going to happen. So the more people we can get in the squad that can score goals, the better. And like Sebastian said, that if there is a Bayern specific clause, like how, what more can you ask for this guy to know? Like, he wants to be at Bayern. He's already, you know, I don't know, maybe top player in the, a top player in the world is overstating it, but he's one of the really good strikers in Germany at the very least. And so you can get this guy for, it seemed like you could get him for 30 this summer. I don't know if the release clause changed with this new deal and if it'd be more now, but yeah, I would prefer them to get him for sure.
Well, real quick before we wrap it up, you brought up Robert Lewandowski. Apparently, he is on the verge of finally signing his new contract. He said after yesterday's game that it's about 95% done. I guess it'd be an additional 2 years, so I think that would keep him here till 2023, if my math is correct. I'll start with you, Garrett, because we want to hear the positive before the negative, and then we're going to come to you, Sebastian, to hear your thoughts on Lewandowski extending his deal.
I think obviously it's nice. I do worry a little bit depending on how long that's going to draw out because of, you know, he's 31 now. I think he just turned 31 last week. And so, you know, he's starting to kind of be on the wrong side of 30. So it's a little bit, I don't know, I wouldn't say concerning because he's still got at least two or three good years in him. I think one of the interesting things I saw that came out of the news about his new contract was that it seemed like he was kind of holding off on signing the new contract because he was saying, we need to get more players. I need to see ambition, and I need to see, you know, that we're doing the things that we need to do to take care of business here. And so there was some thought that maybe this whole signing a new contract thing was kind of why everything happened so quickly after the Hertha Berlin game, was because they wanted to get this extension done, and he wanted them to get the other stuff done first. Thus his comments of like, I think it'll happen next week, after the Berlin game. So, yeah, I mean, I'm happy with it. I think that he's seemingly doing a lot of really good things, both on and off the pitch, and kind of mentality wise, it doesn't sound like he sounds like he's bought in to Bayern, and that's, that can only be good.
All right, Sebastian.
Yeah, I guess. Signing a new contract is not a bad thing. It kind of helps us. I mean, in the worst situation, what's going to happen is that we will still get some money when we have to sell him at some point. So that's really not the worst thing in the world. I guess it's a useful, sensible move. But I guess we really need to wonder how long he will be able to play at this level. And I guess even more so than with other players, because not even Robin or Ribery have really had this status that Lewandowski is having right now at Bayern, and that I think he expects to have and might still expect at, I don't know, 34 or something like that. So that's kind of what I fear here, that, yeah, he's going to want to keep his place as the number one striker, playing 90% of the matches. I don't know, the rest for the rest of his contract. And I'm not sure if we are going to be all that happy with that down the line, because I really think, yeah, at some point, at least a younger striker should get more matches, because otherwise we are going to have the situation that, yeah, we will have to switch over completely from 1 second to the next, and who's going to know if this next big thing at the striker position is going to be available in that situation. Maybe Timo Werner is going to help us resolve that situation, because he's obviously a player that can also play on the wing and can also fulfill different roles. So maybe that's how it's going to turn out, then that's going to be fine then. But yeah, it's just an issue that we have to think about. How long is he going to play at that level? And yeah, how is a transition going to be possible with him, with his character issues that I'm kind of still seeing? I mean, maybe it's not going to be a problem. Maybe his character, maybe his attitude towards Bayern is going to continue to develop basically in the right direction. And then I guess, yeah, it's just me who's concerned here, and I don't really need to.
Well, I think the Coutinho deal kind of helps with one of the issues you're talking about, with Lewandowski is the star at Bayern Munich and has been for the past season or two. I think it's kind of clear he's playing on a level that is above so many other players, maybe not Joshua Kimmich and at times Thiago, but consistently Lewandowski is performing at the top level. There's no question he's among the best in the world at his position. And you can't really fault a guy for feeling that way when he's scoring your only 5 goals of the season so far. When he is, you know, the only player reaching double digits in goals in certain seasons. So I think bringing in another really, really big name like Coutinho, I think it helps him. It helps. We have another star at Bayern, so it takes some of the spotlight off him, some of the pressure off of him even. But it also fulfills his wish of, okay, I want to play with other players who are at the same level as I am. As far as the contract extension goes, I think you're exactly right. Worst case scenario is 2 or 3 years later, we realize, okay, you know, it's not healthy for us to have him here, or, you know, he's not performing at the same level that he used to. We don't lose him for free. We can sell him to somebody for really cheap. So I don't see any issues in this contract extension. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode. If you're a fan of the pod, or if you've enjoyed listening, do us a big favor and leave a 5-star review. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us grow and get better week after week. If you haven't already, please join our Bundesliga Fantasy League. Just create your team, go to League, and type in Super Bayern Pod, and you can try and catch up with Garrett, who has been doing pretty good so far.
I think I've dropped back. Yeah, I think I had a semi-poor second match day, so... It's there for the taking.
Yeah, your chance is definitely there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Super Bayern Pod. You can keep up to date with us there. You can get in contact with us there. You can also email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. All the major podcast catchers will be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.